Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Mr. Tim Dennis. Good evening, Timothy.
Good evening, sir.
Hey, guys. Guess what's coming up next week?
Do you know? Thanksgiving?
No, that's in 2 weeks. Captain Andy Candy Pants has drawn his thumb across his throat like I'm going to die.
Oh, wow.
No, but I'm going to be closer. I will be 41. I'm turning 41 next Saturday on the 22nd.
We'll be sure to throw you a service or something.
Yes, please do. Yeah. And you can do that. Join me out in Ocala, Florida. I'm going to be out at the Seven Sisters Inn. We're going to be out there with Brent Fair and Nancy Planetta are hosting an event out there. You can check out all the information. Spell it out, sevensistershaunt.com. It's supposed to be one of the most insanely haunted hotels. There are still rooms available. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be with Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence, Kristen Gartland from Ghost Hunters, and they just added Rob Demarest from Ghost Hunters International, so it's going to be cool. And then we're going to talk to Rob there at the event. I think I'm going to try to do an interview with him live on site while we're ghost hunting that we'll play maybe the following weekend. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to Kristen Gartland while we're out there, too. So check it out. Come on out. If you want to join us, it'll be fun. It'll be entertaining. We get to ghost hunt. There's going to be two nights of ghost hunting. You can pay for one or both, whichever you'd like to do. I think there are still some tickets available. Go to sevensistershaunt.com. For information on that trip and all the rest of the exciting trips that we have coming up, join us over at darknessevents.com. Again, darknessevents.com, or you can join us at darknessradio.com. And, you know, I was out at the horror convention this weekend, Tim, wearing my favorite T-shirt, the Don't Scare Me, I Poop Easily T-shirt.
Yes.
Yep. People are asking me where to get it. You can get one of those great shirts. We have them up on our site. Go to darknessradio.com. Click on the merchandise tab, and there you'll find all kinds of cool stuff. We have, I think, what all do we have? There's the Don't Scare Me, I Poop Easily.
I think I just EVP'd.
Yes. You Can't Scare Me, I'm Drunk.
Yep.
And Warning, This Body Protected by Malevolent Spirits.
You definitely want that one if you're in that game.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's a cool set of T-shirts. You want to check that out. All that stuff is up on our website and all kinds of other news up there as well. But right now, let's get back to our phone lines, Mr. Dennis. We have got a great guest coming up.
Yes, we do.
And this is, I think, his like third or fourth appearance on our show. And this is the first time we've had him now that we're on the big leagues, Tim.
He's getting to be like our Don Rickles. He just
just kind of
fires off one-liners and then leaves.
And that's the way we him. Although, you know, he was out there with us at the Stanley Hotel this last weekend. And I think the most frightening thing that I experienced the entire trip was you two chuckleheads. When somebody had the poor misfortune of leaving their camera sitting out.
Never do that at a darkness event.
So our next guest, the esteemed author, Jeff Belanger, and Tim Dennis decided to follow Tim down into the restroom and proceeded to take horrifying photographs.
There is a build-up to this whole thing. There's an art to it, right, Jeff?
You know, it's not something you just jump into.
That's right.
You know, you're born with this gift.
That's right.
It is a gift. It is a gift. So you look at a camera unattended and you say, you know, this person deserves this.
And this person deserves this.
And Jeff is not only...
And not in a bad way.
Uh-huh.
Not in a bad way, you know? I mean, it's just like, you know, I mean, how boring can photos be? Like, and this is my trip, and these are the mountains, and whoa!
Holy crap, literally.
Mother of God.
They followed Tim into the bathroom. There's pictures of Tim sitting on the stool.
Now, you're just describing the grand finale of the fireworks show here, my friend.
Let's get to the end.
It built up. Not only is Jeff an artist of words, he's an artist in pictures as well. And he started off with just little things, you know, garbage cans, stuff like that. Then he got a shot up my nostrils.
Excellent.
He got a little bit of the... we'll put it behind cleavage.
Oh,
I pulled
God.
Out. Yeah, I got a little behind cleavage. Took a shot of my chest hair. I think he even got Scotty Roberts' nipple, so that got in there. And then he did this nice slow build up until he was like, "Hey, you know what? We should get a shot of something in the toilet." And I went, "Me." So we went down to the public restrooms down at the Stanley, and I've got some. I may even post them in my MySpace. I'm proud of them,
Jeff. That's horrifying.
I'm like the Mapplethorpe of the paranormal.
You really are.
You know,
if people don't know who that is, look it up.
About Mapplethorpe, about a year and a half ago, we were out at the Glen Tavern Inn, and we were doing an investigation there with a bunch of people, and somebody was silly enough to leave their recorder sitting on the stairs recording. So, of course, with all my friends in tow, I walked over, picked it up, and, you know, get out, right into the microphone, really loud and obnoxious, and set it down. And then later on, as the people were reviewing the tape, they got all freaked out by it. So it was a beautiful, beautiful moment. So
it's the least we can do.
Exactly. You got to take them to it. Well, Jeff, you've got a great new book out. And, yeah. You know, your publishers were kind enough to send me a copy of the book to peruse. And Jeff, as I said, I think is like his 34th time coming to the show. He's got a new book called Who's Haunting the White House, The President's Mansion and the Ghosts Who Live There. It's a fantastic book I recommend for anybody that's interested in this. And what's really nice, too, Jeff, you know, I've got kids, and they're kind of interested in what Dad does, being involved in the paranormal. But, you know, most of the stuff that's out there, I can't hand them a book and let them start reading, because I'll be never sleeping alone for the rest of my life. They'll be on my floor forever. But you actually wanted to put together a book that would educate kids, give them a history lesson, and wrap it into ghost stories, right?
Yeah, that was the idea all along. It started about 2.5 years ago. I called the White House and I said, "Hey, you know, I want to write a book about the ghosts of the White House." And they said, "You know, that's great, but we're just not interested." And I said, "It's a little different. It's a nonfiction book. I want to use ghosts as kind of an innovative way to teach history, because you can't study ghosts without getting the backstory. That's the stage for which these legends, you know, stand on."
Right.
And they said, "Go on." And I said, "Ooh, an opening." So with the help from my congressman, with some smooth talking, I got to go down there. I got to interview some of the staff, take a tour, and I can't believe how open they were about their ghosts. And this is just one of the ways, you know, I won't take credit for coming up with the idea. I mean, I've been writing about haunted historic places for years, mm-hmm. and some of these places take in school groups, and they were telling me, "Yeah, we get inundated with the kids asking us about the ghosts." And so some of the smart ones started dangling it like a carrot, saying, "All right, if you pay attention, at the end, we'll tell you about the ghosts." And some of the really smart ones actually incorporated the ghosts right into the tour, because, you know, actually, oddly enough, a ghost legend really, you know, it makes human some of these figures from history.
Right.
It's not just a statistic, a date, a person who was here in such and such a date. It was a person with a family who had, you know, had issues in their own lives, just like everybody else who had, you know, people they left behind and reasons to maybe still stick around. And it makes it a lot more memorable.
Now, this was interesting to me, too. And I loved your talk that you did about this at the Stanley. First of all, the book is available out there right now, correct?
Right. Yep.
And we do have a link to it on our website. If you go to Darkness Radio, click on the upcoming shows, and you'll see the book. Just click it, and you can order it right off of Jeff's site there and get information. I think it takes you right to the Amazon page through your website. But I love the whole history of it. It knows a lot of stuff about the White House I didn't even know about. How reluctant were the employees there to tell you these ghost stories?
Here's the beautiful thing. You have to realize there's about 100 employees of the White House who work for the building. It doesn't matter who's president, which political parties in power.
Right.
These are folks that have a job and have had a job. I met one gentleman who was a third-generation White House butler. His dad and his dad's dad were both butlers at the White House, just to give you an idea. And I remember seeing an interview with Barbara Bush, Bush the senior's wife, when she moved in, and she said it was the first week, and one of the butlers said, "What did the old man want for lunch?" And she said, "Well, that's the President of the United States you're talking about." And he said, "Ma'am, presidents come and go, but butlers stay forever." And it's very true. You know, these, and also, if you consider the most a president can really spend there is 8 years, and they're not there all the time. They vacation. They're doing other things. Some of these folks have spent more time in there than any president, especially the gentleman I spent the most time with, who's Gary Walters, and he's the boss down there. He was the boss. He retired actually in January of this past year, but he's worked there since 1967, served every president since Nixon. And they were very forthcoming. When I was first taking the tour, I remember being in the East Room and talking to a Secret Service agent. And you have to remember, there's no hidden cameras or anything once you're inside the building. Because this is a private residence, it's a museum, but it's also a place where foreign heads of state come, and they don't want to be spied on. But there are Secret Service agents standing in every room, and they're packing heat, so you've got that. But when I talk to them, these guys know everything about the room. They know, you know, who brought the carpet in, they know where that chair comes from, who painted such and such a painting, the bust, all that stuff. And I said, "What do you know about the ghosts?" And he said, "Well, we know that the ghost of Abraham Lincoln's been seen upstairs near the Lincoln bedroom, and there's a British redcoat that's been seen out near the North Portico." And I went, "Wow, you said that in the same tone of voice that you described the chair, the carpet, the furniture, everything else." And I said, "Is this some kind of federal recognition of ghosts?" And he just kind of smiled and, I understood our conversation was over at that point.
Any more information and you were going to vanish in the back of a black sedan?
You're right, pretty much. They said, how do you look in orange? What do you feel about Cuba? All right, understood.
I'm with you,
but
sir.
Honestly, though, the chief ushers had his experiences, though, not maybe as over the top as some of them. He described closing up one night and walking through with an officer, and this rush of wind goes by and slammed the door shut. And while that isn't, anything Hollywood's going to make a movie about, you have to realize this is the White House. This is where nothing is supposed to happen unless it's been checked and double-checked. This is where, the people who work there, and that's what I love about the White House, is that the people who work there, not the people who are elected necessarily, but the people who are employed there, have been drug screened, security screened, psychologically screened, because they're around the president, the first family, and foreign heads of state, and they need to be, on their game, and they need to be level-headed. So when they say they've seen something, that's a powerful statement.
This is funny, Jeff, when we were on our old podcast version of this, one of the intros we had for the show, Tim put together from an old Eddie Murphy bit.
No, yeah.
And, I think it's interesting because according to Eddie Murphy, black people will not stay in a haunted house. So well, it's going to be interesting to see how long Obama handles it if he bumps into the ghost of a red coat or the Lincoln hanging out in the Lincoln's bedroom. If this is true, we're going to find out real quick, Tim. Eddie Murphy's going to be put on red alert, I think, on this and find out if it is, in fact, true that African-Americans will be a lot smarter and get the hell out of the haunted house.
Like Katie says, too bad we can't stay, baby.
That's right.
Too bad we can't stay. Yeah, it's such an incredible place, though. When you go there, and actually, a lot of the employees are black. And, in fact, one of the guys I talked to, he's one of the foremen, and he went up on the second floor, and he was turning on the lights one morning, and he said he saw Lincoln sitting there. And this is, this is a figure we know. Lincoln is not some, drifting, far-off thing. We recognize his beard, his looks, everything. And It's to me, it's interesting, too. I mean, I didn't get to interview any president, unfortunately, but I had the next best thing. I got to go through lots of their records. I contacted all the presidential libraries, and I can't believe how many references there were to ghosts. In fact, I was I contacted George Bush, the senior, his presidential library, and I said, I need any reference to ghosts in the White House. And he said, we have two, but they're classified. Would you like to file a Freedom of Information Act?
Really?
And I said, well, yeah, I would. And I don't want to build this up too much because the payoff really stinks, but it took about a year and a half. The book had already gone to print, and I get a letter in the mail, and they decided that they would declassify one of those two pieces of content that referenced the White House. And it turned out to be a handwritten note from George Bush to David McCullough, the author, the historian and author who wrote John Adams and those other bestsellers.
Right.
And it said, either the White House is really haunted or the thunderous applause is still reverberating throughout the building from your speech last night. Thank you for visiting. That was classified and now is available to the masses thanks to yours truly.
Wow, way to go, Jeff. You are.
I'm doing my part.
You are the Woodward and Bernstein of our generation. Hey, let me ask you. We had Bree Sanders, our national news correspondent, on in the first hour, and she was reporting on a story that was just out talking about this mysterious black cat ghost that seems to appear around the White House during times of turmoil. I know they said it was witnessed around the time of the stock market crash and some of the attacks. Did you find out anything about that story? Have you heard anything about that at all?
Yeah, I did do one little sidebar on the black cat that does go back. He's mainly spotted in the basement of the building, and like you said, just before a national tragedy. Also, I understand before assassinations as well.
So right. It was visible before Kennedy's assassination.
Right. So if the cat has been seen, who knows? It's one of those things. But you have to realize how many animals have lived in the White House. Many, many first pets. I know when Abe Lincoln lived there, his kids had various animal. His kids were animal lovers, and American citizens would send in livestock as gifts. So the kids were running, various sheep and things through the White House. Which I, insert your sheep joke there.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Tim.
No, he's too busy surfing the internet for porn right now. We're going to take a quick break. Jeff will be back with more. You're listening to Darkness Radio with our guest, Jeff Belanger. And Jeff is the author of a new book, Who's Haunting the White House, The President's Mansion, and the Ghosts Who Live There. You can get information on that book by going to our website at darknessradio.com. Click on the upcoming guests and click on the book. Or make it a whole lot easier. Just go to ghostvillage.com. which is Jeff's little online home, ghostvillage.com, and order the book. We'll be back with more and more questions for Jeff right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Sunday night edition. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. We have a copy of Jeff's book we're going to give away right now. And Jeff, what's a good question? What do you say? How about, you know, I think a lot of people automatically assume that George Washington was the first resident of the White House. But we know this too is not true. So how about the first caller who can call in correctly and identify the name of the president that was the first to live in the White House? We'll give him a copy of Jeff's book. You can call in right now, and we'll give you a copy of the book that we're on here discussing this evening with our guest, Jeff. And again, the name of the book is Who's Haunting the White House, the President's Mansion, and the Ghosts Who Live There. You know, Jeff, this is horrible enough for me is that I've got you on the show tonight, and then right after you, we have Michelle Belanger.
Oh, very
so
good.
To have these names, different. Yeah, I know, it's going to drive me nuts all night. So I've phonetically written out, and I still look at it, and I can't say your last name. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's like a
you
technical.
You can call me Jeff, man. It's cool.
Jeff works?
We're down like
Belanger,
that.
Huh?
Belanger, right on.
There we go. I'm rocking it. All right, Jeff Belanger is our guest. You can look him up, too, on Amazon, Belanger. He's got a great list of books out there, guys. I would highly recommend picking up. You know, again, one of my favorite books, too, is The Nightmare Encyclopedia.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that was a few years ago.
Yeah, I love that book. I love all the books that you've sent out to us and we've had a chance to read, but I really like that one. It's just super interesting to me because I'm into the dream interpretation stuff a lot. But this is a great new book, and I did actually just give the copy that I have of my book to my 10-year-old son to start reading the Who's Haunting the White House.
Can I brag just a little bit?
Please.
Someone sent me a book report that she did on Who's Haunting the White House. It's about the coolest piece of fan mail I've ever received in my life, and I don't know what grade she got. I'd like to find out, but I just think it's pretty cool that I'm
she failed because the teacher didn't believe in ghosts either.
That's right, and then she had to bring the book in. I said that's really cool.
Do we have a winner yet? Is the winner still on the line? All right, can we bring that winner on real quick, and I want to get the answer on here and see if we can do this. Has Ben taken the information? All right, Jeff, hold on 1 second. We're going to bring our winner on the line, and we'll see if we got the correct answer here. We're on line number two. All right, let's see. Okay, caller, you're on the line. Who do we have with us tonight?
This is Nick in Minneapolis.
Nick, thanks a lot for calling in. All right, go ahead and hit me with the answer. Who was the first president to actually reside in the White House?
John Adams.
Right on.
Very good. All right, well, you're going to get a copy of the book. Again, the name of the book is Who's Haunting the White House, the President's Mansion, and the Ghosts Who Live There. Thanks a lot for listening and being part of the show, Nick.
Hey, thanks a lot.
We'll put you back on hold and finish getting the information from you, okay?
Great.
Thank you.
So the date, also, for those who really want to take it to the next level, was November 1st, 1800. Of course, November 1st being All Souls Day.
That's interesting. Now, give some of the history, too, of the White House. This was interesting. I didn't realize that all the history that you gave on this, the White House is not really the same White House that was built back in 1880, right?
No, that was two versions ago.
Wow, two versions. Okay.
Yeah, in the late 1700s, George Washington chose the winning design by James Hoban, and it was pretty much modeled after Washington's own mansion. And that only lasted a few decades. Actually, not even during the War of 1812, the British came in, and it was actually August of 1814. The British came in and burned Washington more or less to the ground, including the White House. There was nothing but an empty shell left. And fortunately for the country, this was before the days of CNN and things like that, so it's not like people had images beamed into their homes all over the country. And it was really downplayed. They don't know, it's not too bad. We're just going to make a few repairs. But it was just an empty shell. And in fact, since that day, there are two spots that have never been painted that still show the burn marks from back then as a reminder.
Wow, unbelievable. So that part is still part of the long-standing White House that we see right now.
That's right.
And I got to ask you, how was it as a thrill to be an American to get to be in, you got to actually go in the White House.
You know what, honestly, anyone who has the opportunity, you really should go. It used to be before 9/11, you could just stand in line and you might wait, 4, 5, 6 hours, but they took upwards of 6,000 people a day through there. Today, the proper channel is you contact your representative. They like to get about 6 months' notice. You have to submit to a background check, which I had to submit to a background check as well. And then they're now getting about 2,000 people a day on days that they have tours, which is still amazing considering all the all the background checks. But when you walk in there, when you walk through that north portico and you're standing in the main hallway and you're surrounded by these portraits, and you just go, whoa, every single president stood where I'm standing. Washington, too, probably stood there. We know he was there for the laying of the cornerstone. He just passed away before the building was complete. But all of them, Kennedy and Lincoln and, all these incredible figures, Roosevelt, all these these figures from history walked where you're walking. And I mean, you know when you go to a place like Gettysburg, you get feelings like that. But this building's history is so intertwined with American history, you pick up on it. You could call it a psychic impression, I guess, if you want to go that way, but you feel it. The building breathes the history of the country.
Was there any kind of I don't mean to demand you here, but I mean, was there any kind of emotional feeling for you to be in this place? I know, and I bring that up. I went to the Pearl Harbor Memorial myself, where you stand over the Arizona. And, I just stood there, and as it was, one of the survivors happened to be there that day, and he just broke down. And when he broke down standing out there, we just lost it. But you just stand there, you just got this vibe and this sense of sorrow when you're standing there. And, I had tears streaming down my face the whole time I was standing out on the memorial. And then when this guy lost it, I lost it. But as did everybody else standing out there. Did you have that kind of choked up feeling being in this place? I like I said, I don't know, maybe I'm just an old time romantic. But to me, that just seems like such an amazing opportunity to be in that house and see that.
It was pretty. The thing that was most cool to me is once I got to go behind the curtain and talk to some of the folks in their offices and things like that, I just went, I kind of had a wow. I'm not quite the I made it moment, but they're taking me seriously. This kid from Massachusetts got to go down to the White House and go backstage and talk to some of the people, and that was the impressive part. It is awe inspiring walking through there. I wouldn't call it emotional because, number one, there's been very few deaths in the White House. In fact, there was Willie Lincoln. There's been funerals there and things like that, but for the most part, this isn't a place of tragedy unless you're talking about policies of various presidents. But this is a place of reverence for the country, and I just realized so much there, that this president is more than just the presidency is more than just a person. It's a concept that goes back centuries now, and you can get mad at individuals who hold the position, and you should, and that's your God-given right, but at the same time, it's bigger than any one person. It's bigger than George Bush or Bill Clinton or Barack Obama or anybody.
Now, did they actually have presidents lie in state at the White House?
Yeah, there's been a few, actually. Lincoln lied in state. He was there. There were funerals that took place there. There were weddings that took place there. There's been pretty much everything under the sun. And all of that, leaves a mark. And one of the things that I've always thought about the ghost experience is that in some cases it's almost history demanding to be remembered. That's one of the purposes, I think, that these ghosts, these impressions, whatever they may be, that's one of the purposes that they serve, is that we have to remember. We have to know who came before us, who went there, how did we get to this point. And there's a long list of people that made that happen, and you really drink that in inside that building.
No doubt. We have to take a quick break again, Jeff. We'll be back with more and more of your questions. If you have questions, feel free to give us a call. If you want to talk to Jeff about his book, Who's Haunting the White House, The President's Mansion, and the Ghosts Who Live There. Again, if you want to order the copy of the book, go to ghostvillage.com. It is one of the best paranormal sites out there, resource centers. You can find any kind of information there, find out what's going on all over the world in the paranormal, and you can find all of Jeff's books. We'll be back with more and more Jeff Belanger right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Stay tuned. In the third hour at 11 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Ryan Buell of Paranormal State, Chip Coffee, the psychic medium from Paranormal State and Psychic Kids, and Michelle Bellinger, the metaphysical author, vampire, and psychic will be joining us. We're going to put them to the test here, Tim. There's a lot of controversy going on surrounding the Paranormal State TV show.
And here I thought we were just going to have a little cattle call, a little sexy lineup of paranormal people
in
the
no.
third hour.
Dude,
no?
It's a war.
All right.
War zone.
Yeah.
Bellinger versus Coffee in an all-out, knockdown, drag-em-out fight.
Getting it on at the Metrodome.
Brought to you by GhostVillage.com.
Wait a minute now.
Well, we're going to set some...
I want to be sponsoring it.
Come on. It's like hobo fights. We're going to have psychic fights. We're going to start putting them on your website at Ghost Village. What do you think?
You know what? If that would be cool, like the psychic powers like in South Park where they just, point their brains at each other.
Our guest is Jeff Belanger, and he is the author of a book called Who's Haunting the White House, The President's Mansion, and the Ghosts Who Live There. We have another trivia question. Jeff, why don't you go ahead and give this trivia question. If you want to win a copy of Jeff's book, we're going to give it away to the first caller who can correctly identify the answer to this question. Go ahead, Jeff.
Who was the first president to attend a seance inside the White House?
Now, let me give one answer out right away, because I'm sure a lot of people automatically are going to guess that it would have been Reagan because of Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan's whole deal with numerology and astrology. But we'll take Reagan out of the mix.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Right? Because wasn't that, I mean, wasn't he one of the big guys that was involved in kind of a psychic scandal? He was taking his time.
Well, made mommy. A lot of news, that's true, back in the 80s. You know, what's this crazy president doing? Yeah, right, with the numerologists and the astrologers, yeah.
And was it weird enough that he called his wife mommy?
That is weird.
He was also going after the numerology. So how many, from the research you've done, how many presidents have been witnessed at the White House in ghostly form?
Oh, God, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I can tell you there's been, probably at least five. There's been first family. Now, some are more prominent than others. Others were heard. Some have been just, you know, kind of a passing kind of impression, but there are a few that are prominent that still seem to be hanging around.
Is there any truth to the rumor that there's a really great EVP of Kennedy going, oh, my head is killing me?
No? I can neither.
Is it still too soon?
Or deny.
Still too soon. Who knew?
still too soon.
You know what would be interesting is if they truly do bug all the rooms like they show in the movies, right, and lead you to believe that everything is bugged at the White House and everything is being recorded, wouldn't you love to be able to play back the audio, not so much for what actually is being said in there, but are they, you know, be interesting to see if they pick up spirit voices.
You know, I still have hope. I'm not quite holding my breath, but I have sent a copy of the book to George Bush, and I figure if there was ever a time where you could possibly get in for a little more than just interviewing some of the staff, it would be, you know, your last couple of months of a lame duck presidency, you know, where you're finished, you're pretty much done, and you're not, your party wasn't even reelected, so what's the harm? Come on, let's
Jeff, I want to speak to you about some phenomenology going on here. In the White House, we've got some supernaturalicity going on, and I want to speak about it.
I'm ready. And President-elect Obama, if you need some help, give me a call. I'm down.
Yes,
we'll be right in.
That'd be awesome. Do we have a winner in there, Tim? Are we have somebody already?
Easy.
People are googling like
big
mad.
Fella.
Are they? Well, I didn't know. Andy Candy Pants is in there.
Just because we have phone calls doesn't mean we have winners.
All right. Well, everybody's a winner that listens to our show, Tim. That's the way I feel about it. So why don't you give us some more of the background and some more of the cool stories. How about that? You were talking about the red coat.
Yeah, the British red coat. Again, this goes back to, this is a figure that's very much part of folklore in and around 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Okay.
The White House. You know, this is... The British came in and they literally ate the dinner that was on the table. That's how fast that the residents had to get out. Ate the dinner on the table and then burned the building to the ground, which was a real problem because that's...
Well, the food must have sucked, huh?
Yeah, that's terrible. And it's the kind of thing where ever since then, and again, that gets back to me, you know, is history part of our collective conscious? Do people around that building know, hey, you know, we let our guard down once before and look what happened? And that it's almost like a reminder figure, you know what I mean? But this is very much folklore because I've yet to find someone that was quoted as saying, I saw him, this is what I saw, or he was captured on this video or whatever. So it's just that one's more part of legend as opposed to a figure like Lincoln, where people have reported very much, you know, seeing that figure. People have gone on the record as saying that they've seen the figure of Lincoln. And people have reported seeing Lincoln's son, Willie, who died of a typhoid-like disease in that building. First reported by Mary Todd Lincoln in a letter to her sister, who said he'd come to her every night while she slept. But that, you could say, well, that's just a grieving mother who's, you know, reaching out to her lost son. But then he shows up decades later in the early 1900s when a military aide wrote in his memoirs that some of the staff of the White House said that the house is haunted by a little boy. But they didn't even draw the connection to Willie, who would have been the only little boy to die there.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I just would love to just spend the night in there. And I mean, didn't it used to be you could pay your way to sleep in Lincoln's bedroom?
I believe, honestly, that's still the case.
Oh, really? Well, what do you say, Jeff? You and I, you want to shack up for a night in Lincoln's bedroom with me?
Uh-huh.
I don't think both of us together with every penny we have is not anywhere near enough the
little paranormal spooning
contribution it would take.
Oh. Contribution, schmontribution.
Right.
Tell them we've got good ghost stories. Hey, hang on one second. We're going to bring our winner on the line here. Helen, you're on the line with us. Are you listening there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Great, Helen. All right. So the question was, who's the first president to be a part of a seance at the White House?
And it was President Lincoln.
Okay, Jeff, do we have
you
a winner?
Are correct.
Very good. How'd you know that, Helen?
I read a lot of ghost stories, and I just recently read about President Lincoln and the seances that his wife always attended, and he got interested after his young son had passed.
Interesting.
That's right.
Well, you know what, and she definitely deserves to win because everybody in the chat room's beating me up. I forgot to give the phone number out. So, Helen, not only did you know the answer, but you were smart enough to remember the phone number that I'd given out this evening.
Phone number right next to the phone in case I know an answer.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. Well done. I'm going to put you back on hold, and we'll get you out a copy of that book this week, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, so Lincoln actually attended a seance.
Here's the thing. Mary Todd, we knew, was very much into spiritualism.
Right.
Before, during, and after. In fact, she was, after losing her husband, she had... went to see William Mumler, a spirit photographer in Boston, to try to get a spirit portrait, which is a very famous portrait of Mumler's, where you see this saint figure in the background, this bearded figure that some believe was actually Lincoln, most believe is a fraud, considering Mumler was arrested for being a fraud. But she was holding seances there, and what I would guess, what I can speculate is that happened, is that she dragged Abe to one of them, and he, you know, he finally went. And we know he went because he paid a bit of a political price, just like Reagan. It got into the papers saying, what's this crazy president doing going to seances in the White House? You know, this is our tax dollars and all that other stuff. So same story, just a century earlier.
Interesting, huh? So now going through this, now the picture you mentioned of Mumler, you have that in your book too, don't you?
Oh, that's right. I forgot that is in there. Yeah,
yes.
the Mumler photo is in the book. That's correct.
Now, what was the story you were telling? Because not only does Lincoln show up, but his little boy supposedly shows up in the photograph as well, right?
That's right. If you look at the photo and the book, you can see that Mary Todd's sitting there. She's dressed in black, and then standing over her shoulders is Abe Lincoln, and it looks like he's got his ghostly hands on her shoulders. And then to the right of Lincoln, you see a very faint, young, you know, smaller figure that's supposed to be Willie. And, you know, Mumler was a guy in Boston who started doing guaranteed results for his spirit photos. You know, he charged $10 at a time when the going rate for a regular old photographic portrait was 50 cents and guaranteed results. And what happened to him is he got run out of Boston because people were recognizing his ghost as out of work actors kind of walking around, and they said, hey, wait a minute, aren't you the ghost from such and such a photo? But he maintained his innocence right through the end. He went to New York and again ran into the same problems where he was he was being accused of fraud and went to court for it. And actually, I'm reading an interesting book that just came out about Mumler, and you know, apparently he was never quite convicted, even though the judge said, I know in my heart of hearts there's something wrong here, but the prosecution, you know, failed to make the case. So the debate goes on, even though what he did could be reproduced. You know, this is a time where you had really long shutter speeds, people would open the camera for upwards of a minute, and it's very easy to create a double exposure. Just open the shutter again, bring in an image for, you know, 10 seconds or so, bring them out, and they won't be fully burned into the picture. They'll be there looking like a ghost. But these were the early days of photography and the boom of spiritualism, and the two collided to create, you know, quite a phenomenon.
Speaking of photographs, I don't mean to veer away from this for a moment, but in the first hour, we were talking to Bree Sanders, and she told a story about the hunter's photograph of what appears to be a juvenile Bigfoot. We do have that up on our site now. If you go to darknessradio.com, click on the news desk and go by Bree, you'll see the link to the story. And it's definitely an interesting photograph. It does appear to be very ape-like in stature, and it seems to be a short ape-like character. Of course, this just could have been somebody left their camera out, and Jeff and Tim were out horsing around. I've seen Tim without his shirt on. He is a hairy bastard.
Well, you know.
All right. So, but that is up on the site, so go check it out. The story and the link are there. And again, our guest this evening, we're talking about his new book, which is Who's Haunting the White House, the President's Mansion, and the Ghosts Who Live There. Now, this book, again, is it geared? What are the age ranges you would say that they're geared towards, Jeff?
Pretty much 9 and up is what we're. It's called middle readers, so it's a nonfiction book, which is pretty cool because the nonfiction section in the bookstores for kids is not very big,
right?
I remember talking to a Scottish historian years ago when I was working on something else, and he told me something that stuck with me ever since. He said, you know, history's a damn good story. It just needs damn good telling. And that's hung with me ever since. And I think that it is a great story. And the only time people hated their history classes was when they had a pretty bad teacher. And this is one of the many ways that we can use our ghosts. And I think that's it's a way that kids can learn something.
We're going to take our last break for the hour here, Jeff, so stick with us. Our guest is Jeff Belanger, and he is the author of a fascinating book called Who's Haunting the White House? The President's Mansion and the Ghosts Who Live There. And with the changeover taking place relatively soon here, the election that just took place a few weeks back, interesting topic. We'll be back with more and more of your questions. When we come back, we'll have another question, what do we call it, trivia.
Sure. If that's what you want to call it, I mean, you know, there are other words for it, like guessing game or...
Yes, we'll do another trivia question. We'll have Jeff think up a new trivia question for us. And Jeff, when we come out of the break, we'll have you throw that out there and give away the last copy of the book we have, all right?
Sounds good.
All right, you guys stay tuned. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. This evening, we're exploring the ghosts of the White House. That's right. We've got the ghosts of the White House we're talking about right here with a brand new book called Who's Haunting the White House, written by our guest, Jeff Belanger. Jeff is a good friend of ours here on the radio show. I think this is like his third or fourth time being on our show, and we're going to be giving away a copy of his book in a second. I also want to mention, ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in any of the upcoming events, they are moving relatively quickly. We do have tickets still available for the Waverly Hills event taking place in May of 2009. And we're going to be going out to the Waverly Hills. You can investigate for two nights at Waverly Hills Sanitarium with us and our great lineup of speakers. And we're also going to be going out in August 2009 to the Gilliland Ranch, the UFO Ranch. You get three nights of star watching, UFO watching, and you can camp out there. It's going to be a great time. We have some fantastic guest speakers that are going to be joining us as well. For that and information on other events coming up between now and then, go check out our website at darknessevents.com. Again, the website is darknessevents.com, or go to darknessradio.com and click on the upcoming events page. We're going to go back to our guest, Jeff Belanger. And Jeff, you got another trivia question for us, sir?
I do. Are you ready?
All right. Now, here, let me give out the phone number so everybody doesn't get all up in arms on me. If you know the answer to this, first caller, give us a call if you know the answer to this question.
All right. Back in 1913, some workers went out to the Colonial Garden with the orders of digging it up. And they ran into an angry ghost. Who was that ghost? Who was that person in life?
Very good. Okay, we'll see. Whoever the first answer is, who was the ghost that they ran into out in the gardens? Give us a call. Let us know if you'll win a copy of the book. Jeff, we've got about 6-7 minutes here left. Give us some of the highlights, too, of the book. Some of the really cool selling points for us to ghost-wise that people can really get into on this.
Well, the point of the whole book was that it's not just about ghosts and history. It's also a ghost investigation. So, it's kind of teaching junior ghost hunters how to go about an investigation, go into a building, talk to the witnesses, look back through history, because that's something that's so important in ghost research. It's not just, running in through cemeteries at night with right. EMF meters. You know, it's looking through the books and trying to figure out what kind of events took place, at a certain location. And then it brings us up to modern day, right through, the staff that work there today who've had encounters. And what's amazing to me, when you go back and you realize some of the people who have commented on the ghost, Harry S. Truman wrote about the ghost 7 times. And to quote President Truman in a letter to his wife, he said, "The place is haunted, sure as shooting." He talked about an experience where he was going to bed one night, and he was the only one of his family that was home. So he was the only person in the upper floors. The Secret Service were down on the main floor, which is what their post is. And he said he heard someone walking around. He heard doors opening and closing, to the point where he got up, went downstairs to find the officer on duty and say, "Well, what are you doing upstairs? You're not supposed to be up there unless there's an emergency." And he was told, "No, there was no one's been up there. It's been absolutely secure." Truman was convinced the place was haunted. And he's not the only one. Jimmy Carter's daughter, Amy, held a seance in the Lincoln bedroom with a Ouija board. She broke out a Ouija board and made various pranks about it. Hillary Clinton said in an interview that the place could be spooky. I'm hearing, some rumors that the Bush families had, had a few mishaps with some of the things there. Of course, probably won't know for certain until he's well out of office, but it's the kind of thing that, presidents, even though that letter I got, declassified,
right.
at least it still acknowledges the fact that President, George Bush the Senior knew that the building had a haunted reputation back in the 90s. I think it's something that everybody knows. I'm sure President-elect Obama is aware that the building has a haunted reputation.
Boy, could you imagine, if Lincoln really is stomping around that place.
Yeah.
That moment in history when Lincoln and Obama were to see each other in the White House. That's just got to be, you know, I know it's just a moment of fantasy thought, but I mean, just that would be such an incredible statement on history itself. It would just, boy, you know, I hope if he does see something, he comes forward and says that he does. You know,
it would be something. And here's the thing, too. I've always thought that the presidents need Lincoln around. You know, I remember seeing an interview again with George Bush, the senior, who said he was about to send in troops into harm's way. It was his first military action as president, and he was really struggling with the decision. And he said, I thought about President Lincoln and what he went through. And you have to realize no president in the history of the country has had it as tough as Lincoln, losing his son to the White House, nation at war with itself, the U.S. Civil War, thousands dying, you know, the nation about to be ripped in two. Nobody's had it as tough as him, and he paid the ultimate price for the office. And I think other presidents call on him, need him there. They need his spirit there to get them through whatever they have to go through, because they know someone else had it tougher, and I can get through this. You know, just yet another use for his very important, very American spirit that's still lurking.
No doubt. Hold on 1 second. We got our winner on the line. And Jen, you have the answer for the question?
Yes, I do.
All right, go ahead. What was the question again, Jeff? Now, who was the...
In 1913, there was a ghost spotted out in the Colonial Gardens of the White House. Who was that ghost?
It was Dolly Madison.
You are correct.
Dolly Madison. I thought she was just the maker of really excellent little snack cakes hosted by Snoopy.
More than Zinner.
She was a busy woman. She was she planted the original garden back there. She oversaw it, and then when someone came along to try to dig it up, she wouldn't have it.
Wow. Very cool. Well, Jen, thanks a lot for calling in. Did they already get your information?
Yep.
Okay, well, we'll let you get going. Thanks for being a part of the show tonight.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we gave out all three copies of your book. Thanks a lot for that, Jeff. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Got about 2 minutes left. So Dolly Madison, she showed up, huh? And now how did the workers react to that? Was there a story for that?
Yeah, the workers went with shovel in hand. They were they were ordered to go dig this garden up, and they said they got there and they saw the wagging finger of Dolly Madison. They dropped their shovels, ran inside, and the gardens have never been touched since. Some people confuse that story. They think it was the Rose Garden. It was not. It was the Colonial Gardens. And if anyone has ever been out there on the various lawns, no, it's incredible. The whole place. If you have the opportunity to go, you really should. Contact your congressman, find out, you know, what it would take, because really, you have to remember, too, we're part owners of this building. You know, it's as much my building as it is George Bush's, as it is Obama's, or anyone else who's come there before. That's a public building. It's an American building, and it's worth seeing.
Did you hear that, Tim? We're pulling up stakes. We're going to go move in. It's our building, too.
All right, cool. I was looking for a new apartment.
The Darkness Radio wing. What do you think, Jeff? Should we start broadcasting from the Oval Office?
You know, I still got a few phone numbers down there. I can make some calls.
I'd love that.
Couldn't hurt.
You know, here's an interesting deal. You were telling us the ghost of Lincoln is often seen by what they call the Lincoln bedroom.
That's right.
But it truly was never his bedroom. Is that right?
It was.
Well, not in an official capacity.
Right. That was originally the executive office long before they added the east and west wings of the White House. That's where the president's office was, and which would make sense why he might be haunting it. Though the furniture in there belonged to the Lincolns, it was never his bedroom.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate the information that you shared with us tonight. And again, people can check out your website, Ghost Village. You have full references there to all different types of paranormal information going on, right?
Yeah, and we also have a new section called kids.ghostvillage.com, and it's a section for junior ghost hunters, for parents, and for teachers and educators who want to use ghosts in the classroom. So I'm not aware of anything else out there like it, but it's a growing resource where parents can talk about their experiences with ghosts and talking about dealing with hauntings when, you know, you have young children in the building and things like that. We've got a great advisory board, which includes PhDs and educators.
Great. Well, thanks again. The name of the book is Who's Haunting the White House, The President's Mansion, and the Ghosts Who Live There. Our guest is Jeff Belanger. And Jeff, thanks again. We'll have you again as soon as we can, and we'll see you a few weeks from now out at the Queen Mary.
Sounds great.
Thank you, sir, for joining us. And thank you all for tuning in. Stay tuned. We got a hotbed of controversy coming up after the top of the hour. We're going to be talking to Ryan Buell from Paranormal State. And we're going to also be discussing with Chip Coffey and Michelle Belanger, the psychics. We're going to go to war and see who's actually coming down on which side on this event. You're going to want to stay tuned. We got more coming for you right here on your home for the best in paranormal talk radio, Darkness Radio.
ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.